Today is Wednesday, February 27th. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We're at Vayikra Perek Yudchet, the beginning of beginning of Parshas Vayera. Okay, Rabotai. Hi, how are you? Here, take a sheet.
I'll take two.
Okay, Rabotai. We are at the very beginning of Parshat Vayera. We've spent a couple of weeks on the very first pasuk. And before we proceed to the next pasuk, I want to just share with you something that we had elaborated on, and I want you to check something for me. If you remember correctly, I told you we read a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether or not the episode which we are learning now of the three angels appearing to Avram was an episode that described the reality, or was it nothing but a vision? This entire episode, a vision that Avram is experiencing, but it never really happened. And that Rambam was of the opinion that this entire chapter is only a nivuah, a form of prophecy, and that within the prophecy, Avram sees three people coming, and so on and so forth. And the Ramban, if you remember, said, prophecies are designed to share with you relevant information. So the relevant information in this case, in this unit, were three things. One, to cure Avraham. Two, to portray the terrible behavior of the people of Sodom, and that God is planning to kill them, hoping that Avraham would now react and try to do something on their behalf. And one of the angels is going to destroy them, and to tell Sarah that she's going to have a baby, and to save Lot. So the Ramban argued and said, "I can't." So when you have a vision, you see the mission itself in this vision. But what do you need all the details about Avram slaughtering a cow and Sarah baking cakes? Who cares about that? If it actually happened, so we're learning something about the Avram's personality and so on and so forth. But if it didn't really happen, why would God share irrelevant details to the mission itself in a prophecy? It makes no sense. So therefore he disagreed. Fine, we read the whole Ramban inside, no problem. If you take a look at page one of the source sheet for a second, and then I'm going to ask you to go, not on a wild goose chase, but a goose chase. I'm going to show you lots of psukim, and I'm going to ask you to identify a common word, which will be something very interesting. But if you look at the Radak, the Radak agrees with the Rambam. And he writes, it's on the, where it says, Vayisa Einav, and he lifted his eyes, and he saw. Tchilat Mashe Ra'a Bamar'eh Achar Shenirdam, the beginning of the prophecy that Avraham saw after what? Mazenirdam? He fell asleep, because that's how all prophets received their prophecy, in a slumber. Shinasa Einav Vira'a Shloshan Hashim Shayu Nitzavim Alav. The first thing that he saw was his eyes were opening, and he saw three people, lo and behold, standing in front of him. But he clearly writes that this is nothing but a dream, because the Radak shakes hands with the Rambam in this regard. So I want to show you about 10 different psukim in Sefer Bereshit, And I want you to just keep your mind open to one word that appears in every single pasuk that I'm going to ask you to look at, and then see if that pasuk appears in our unit, and then either substantiate Rambam and Radak or reject Rambam and Radak. What? No, that's not the word that I'm looking for. That I don't have 10 times. I don't. This is very good, but I don't have that 10 times to document a theory. So, if you now look at go to Perek in Sefer Bereishit, Perek Chafchet. And you read Psukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel. So as this is the first source that I'm asking you, you can't identify the Mila HaManah, the common word that I'm asking you to identify. But you're going to have to read those two Psukim. Keep it in mind. Okay, the word Nitzav is there. That's very good. That's excellent, but that the word Nitzav is not going to appear in the others. But the Hine is going to appear in quite a number of these. Good. Please now go to... Please go to... Perek Lamed Zayin. Psukim Hey and Vav. Perek Lamed Zayin of Sefer Bereishit, Psukim, Hey and Vav. Psukim, Perek Lamed Zayin, Psukim, Hey and Vav. And see if you can find a word that did appear in the source that I just asked you. It says Vayachalom, but what else? The word Vehine appears there, and Nitzav appears there as well. That is true. Hine is right there. Pasuk in Zion, excuse me. Yeah, Vehine Anach. Right. Good. That is good. Now go to Perek Mem. It is Pasuk Tet. Pasuk Tet. Then go to Shmot, Perigimel, Pasuk Bet, Shmot, Gimel, Bet. So as you can see, what word is constantly used here? The word Vehine. There are some scholars in the Gush camp, a couple of them, Rav Meidan and a couple of others, who believe that the word Vehine is a code name, a code word for introducing a vision. Because it's hard to translate the word hine. The whole phrase could have been presented without the word hine. Every single time. Va'ere b'chalomi, I saw in my dream, shlosha sarigim gef, three vineyard branches. You don't have to say v'hine shlosha sarigim. That the word hine is a code word to introduce some type of vision that is being experienced right here. Therefore, Rambam, for example, writes, without identifying the word hine, that the episode that I showed you in Sefer Shmot, Moshe at the burning bush, Rambam believes, he didn't see a burning, there was no burning bush. It was in a vision that Moshe had received. A burning bush, vihine, lo uchal, it was not consumed. But the word vihine appears there. So the theory is that whenever you see the word hine, that is an indication to tell you, do not believe that the Torah is describing something in actuality, but it's rather a vision, and the Torah is portraying that vision in active terms. Just 1 second. Therefore, Rav Meidan and Rav Yoel both agree on this. Both believe that the Rambam, that is why Rambam and Radak, as I just showed you, believe that this entire chapter is nothing but a vision. Because in the pasuk that we will read now, in Perek Yudchet Pasuk Bet, Vayisa Eina Vayar, Vihine Shlosha Anashim. Skip the word Vihine. Vayisa Eina Vayar, Shlosha Anashim. Is there anybody who can't translate that beautifully? Yeah. It flows remarkably well. What did he see? Vayar, Vosata Gezen, Shloisha Anashim. He saw three people. What did Vihine for? Again, that's what made, I don't think the Rambam, he didn't mention that, but it's a common denominator. And therefore, it's not far-fetched for the Rambam and Radak to claim that the entire Perek Yudchet and part of Yutet are visions that are now being shared with Avram. With Avram. The Ramban's argument that the details are meaningless, why does he have to say that he was that she was baking challah? Who cares about that? And even more compelling, the Ramban's argument. I can understand, I can give in and cave into you, my good friend Rambam, about Avram. But since when did Lot earn the privilege of having what? Divine visions being shared by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because at the beginning of chapter 19, the very same story unfolds by Lot with a different presentation, but there are people who are coming to him and so on and so forth. Oh, he also is a big Navi, so all of a sudden. But anyhow, I just wanted to share with you code word Vihine. And it appears at least 5 other times in Tanakh that the word Hine is associated with a vision, and therefore take that theory, that's part of the Gush school. You take a word, you see, you develop the common denominator, and you apply it in a situation where it's not even abundantly evident. Question? Okay, that's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah, but first of all, that certainly was a vision. It's a vision given to Malachi. That's all. As the last nevuah, what the nevuah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu concludes the period of Nevi'im is that there's going to be one day a messianic era, Yom HaGadol V'Hanora. Yes, that's not a difficult application. Yeah. Okay, fine. You mean okay? I hear. That's also good because it's again it's an angel who's shaleach malach lefanecha. Yes.
Vayiru
Okay. First of all, okay.
That
is correct. But now that you mention in Parshat Vayera, in Vayeshev, if you just open up for a second again to chapter 37, Pasuk Tetvav. Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tetvav. Vayim Tzoehu Ish, Vihine Toe Basadeh. Good.
Write it.
Okay. So the dream aspect, or the when you have these unidentified people, Rambam again says Yosef dreamt this situation about seeing a malach come, and he asks him, "Oh, are you lost?" and so on and so forth. He wasn't lost. He knew exactly how to find his brothers. But the malach here is trying to ask him, "What are you looking for?" And the same phrase appears in Vayishlach, if I'm not mistaken, when Yaakov encounters think about it, yes or no. You don't have to accept it, you don't have to like it. Okay, let's begin Pasuk Bet. And the reason why the handout is not that long, not that only three signs, because Rashi has a lot to say on this Pasuk. And we always start Rashi before we start exploring anybody else. So the Pasuk states, Vayisa Einav Vayar, Vihine shlosha anashim nitzavim alav, vayar, vayaratz likratam bipetach ha'oel, vayishtachu arza. So the simple translation is very simple. That's why it's a simple translation. It's not difficult. But there are certain difficulties that Rashi will react to. So let's begin as we always do with Rashi. Vihine shlosha anashim. Why are three people? Is there any significance to the fact that there are three people who are coming? So Rashi assumes, because he always follows the Midrash, or 90% of the time, that these are not people. If it was three people who happened to be traveling, there's no difficulty. Why is there no difficulty? Because it just happened, that's the way it was. When three people walk in the street, you don't have to, why are three people walking in the street? Because they're walking in the street. They know each other, they're walking together. What's the big deal? But if you assume they are angels, which Rashi does, then the question is, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need three angels to share information with Avraham? Well, the three angels. Why can't one angel accomplish the mission? So Rashi again follows in the footsteps of the Midrash. You're all familiar with it. Echad levaseret Sarah, one to inform Sarah that she's going to have a baby. The echad lahafoch et Sodom, and the other one is to destroy Sodom. The echad lirapot et Avraham, and one is to heal Avraham. She'ein malach echad oseh shtei shlichiyut. Malachim have very simple jobs. One single task, and that's it. We have a much greater challenge than an angel. He's got one thing to do. So if you can't do more than one thing, therefore there are three assignments, I need three angels. And Rashi is going to prove it. Teda lecha, shikol ha-parsha hu mazkiran bilashon rabim. The entire parsha is actually framed in the plural tense. In the plural tense. As he tells them, that it says, like in Rashi quotes Pasuk Chet, Vahu omeid alehem tachat ha'eitz vayochelu. Vayomru elav ayei sara ishtecha vayomer hinei bahoel. Vayomer, it's not vayomru anymore. It's vayomer, shov ashuv elecha ko'et chaya v'hinei ben l'sara ishtecha. So the activities of the eating and the leaning against the Vishanu, Tachasa Eitz, rest under the trees, all the plural form. When it comes to discuss what the mission is, what the vision is, it's suddenly in the singular tense. One, because only one of the angels is saying this. Why? Because he can't be can't do more than one thing. And the same thing is Ubibisura. Later on, Ne'emar, Vayomer, Shov Ashuv Elecha, we just looked at. Ubahafichat Sidom Hu Omer. Kilo Uchal La'asot Davar Levilti Hafchi. Lo Uchal, I can't do such, whatever that message is, we'll see a little later. Then Rashi is concerned with the fact that there were actually four jobs. Inform Sarah, cure Avraham, destroy Sodom, and save Lot. How come there are three angels and only and four missions, four obligations? So Rashi, again, just quoting the Medrash straight, says Rashi, V'Rifael sheripa et Avraham halach misham lahatzil et Lot. Rifael, who cures Avram from his illness, also saves Lot. Because it's the same type of job. Save people. So Avram is sick because he had Brit Milah. Lot is in danger. Okay, so Rashi says that. It's not exactly the same type of a mission. But nonetheless, it has some overlap. And for this reason, three angels suffice and you don't need four. That's what Rashi says. That's what Rashi says. And he quotes there as well. And he even says who it is, which of the angels it is. Again, how does Rashi know what their names were? It's all the Medrash. It was Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So these three. So Raphael, he obviously does the healing and the saving. Fine. Very nice. Good. Fine. That's point number one. We'll see that there are others who disagree with Rashi, but as I said, we're going to start with Rashi. Then Rashi attacks the next two words. Nitzavim alav. What question? Don't look at Rashi's answer. What is bothering Rashi from a textual point of view? How do you stand on somebody? Alav means on him.
Then it says what? Then it says
good. So Rashi says lifanav. The word al often is interpreted correctly, not on, but nearby, in front of. So Rashi just alerts you to that, that here it does not use such a phrase. But Rashi asks, and it's a good question, why can't I just use another word? Give me another word which means in front of. Torah uses it 1,000 times. Lifanav, lifnei, lifanav. What do you need Allah for? And then you have to excuse you, oh, the word alav can also mean lifanav. So just write lifanav. What's the problem? So Rashi answers, aval lashon nikiyahu klape hamalachim. knowing that Rashi believes that this is what? Angels. How do you demonstrate a higher force in relationship to ordinary humans? What expression do you use? That they are hovering above you. Exactly. That's what Rashi says. Because he's committed to the fact that these are angels. So every word in this text that he has a problem with, he's going to resolve having adopted that particular position. Yes.
Don't we have a tradition that when you fulfill the mitzvah of bikur cholim, you don't stand over the sick person because the Shekhinah hovers over the sick person? So couldn't this be the angels that are sent to heal, or the one sent to heal, is in fact hovering over the person as we understand the Shekhinah to do?
That's a nice idea.
Is that true that we don't stand over a sick person because the Shekhinah is...
No, it doesn't say that. In fact, it's I just taught this interesting halacha on a Friday night. It's preferred when you... this is going to shock you a little, that any time you make fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, the halacha demands that you offer a prayer on behalf of the person who's sick. And while you're there. And if you don't, the Shulchan Aruch says, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And therefore, the Rama adds the following. I don't know about in your families, but in my family, my grandfather was very influenced by the idea that you don't do anything to be mikatreg HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't do anything to get him a little upset. And one of the ways which people were careful not to upset HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that you were sick, people asked you, what's your name? And you would tell them, it's okay. You don't have to mention my name. Why? Because when you mention the name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts saying, oh, let me look at this guy's book. Let me take a look at this guy's book. Does he really deserve the Refuah Shleima or not? And sometimes Midat Hadin gets the better of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment as opposed to Midas HaRachamim. And therefore, they never want to mention the person's name. So the Rama writes this, that when you are in the presence of the Chole, it is better, preferred, not to mention his name. Because if you're right there, you can say, Rabbi Mishalayla, please send the Rafur Shalema to this Chole. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he always knows who you're talking about, whether you mention names or not. But at least philosophically, or you know, whatever it is, Kabbalistically, don't mention his name. But he writes, if you are not in the presence of the Chole, then you should mention the Chole's name. That's what he writes. And you put people in somewhat danger. So if you want to, we prefer that you stand right at the bed of the Chole, facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is right on top of the Chola's head, turn, face HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and offer a prayer. And it's a little shocking that you can be kind of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, but you didn't say a tefillah, and you didn't get credit for the mitzvah. It's a little strange. Not everybody is aware of that. It's just one second. So, and in that regard, you don't even have to mention his name, and therefore, again, Kabbalistically speaking, you have a better chance of Mitat HaRachamim prevailing as opposed to Midas Hadin. Midas Hadin. Yeah, questions. Yeah, who had a question? Yeah.
Yeah, so give an example of a prayer. Is it just please send a
Refuah Shleima for this? Yeah, a very simple prayer. Yes?
Not saying to Hillel, or not saying...
That's correct. And the way they learn how to avoid the name is from Moshe's prayer on behalf of Miriam. El na refana la. Please cure her. And that's it. He didn't mention her name. Even though the Baal Shem Tov said he did mention her name. Because the gematria of Refah Nala, the Baal Shem Tov says, is Miriam Bat Zipporah. That's what he said. But anyhow, a little off the track. Yes?
I'm clear about something. So when you're saying from the Esrei and you're doing Refah Enu, are you supposed to put in the name of the person?
Yes. Because there, you're not...
I understand, but you're still mentioning the name.
I hear. But the custom is to mention the name. Right. If you're praying for yourself, though, just you don't have to mention your name. Just you can say for OC, and that's it. Or just have it in mind if you want to buy into this business. Buy into this business. Yeah. Okay. So, fine. That's Rashi's second point. Again, a lot of people are going to disagree. Then Rashi reacts. Why is it necessary to write the word Vayar twice in the same pasuk? Vayar vihine shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. Skip the word Vayar. Vayar atz likratam. He saw the three people and he charged out after them. What do you need Vayar a second time? What is that adding? In fact, it's a little awkward the way you translate. Asks Rashi. Mahu Vayar Vayar shnei pe'amim. Why is it necessary to write the word Vayar twice? Answers Rashi. Harishon kimashma'o. The first time it says Vayar is you interpret it literally. He saw the three people. Vehasheni, the second time, lashon havana. He understood something by the fact that they were standing. What does this mean? Nistakel. He gazed at them. Shahayu nitzavim b'makom echad. They were just standing there. Vehevin shelo hayu rotzim lehatricho. They did not want to bother him. V'kideim hu, and he took the initiative. V'ratz likratam, and he ran after them. So vayar means he assessed the situation. Came to the conclusion that they're standing there like a klutz, don't want to bother him, and as a result, he now understood that, therefore, Vayaratz Likratam. Very nice. Tell me, Rabotai, how this comment of Rashi supports Rashi's premise that these three people were angels. Tell me, what?
Wasn't he sick? I mean, wasn't he ill?
That's a different question. I'm asking you, that's a good question. That's a very good question. But I'm asking you how this comment that Rashi just made about interpreting the second Vayar as not he saw but comprehended supports Rashi's position. His comment is, yes.
He comprehended that they were blocking.
And a little sharper.
They didn't want to be matriarch then, so they knew.
Exactly. He figured out that these were angels who knew why don't want to. He's a sick man. We don't want to come and bother him. If these were three wayfarers walking in the desert, and now they come to somebody's house needing something, what are they standing there for? He acknowledged them, he saw them, obviously they're going to come to the house. But if you believe they are angels, and angels understood what his situation is, they respected him and said, let's see how he reacts. Maybe he's so sick, so ill, that he will not be able to invite them in to his house for haknasas or urchum purposes.
Didn't,
yes.
Didn't Hashem send them?
Right, if one of them was to bring the refuah, they have to...
That is correct, but they waited to see for the precipitous moment to enter the town. If right now he's not feeling well, let's wait a few minutes. So Rashi is buying into that, and it fits in very, very nicely according to Rashi. However, as we all know, not everybody agrees with Rashi. So if you take our...
There's an extra one.
I'll have to. Okay, thanks. Now, take a look for a second at on page one, on the bottom of the page, is Svarno. And he writes, in his second comment, Nitzavim Alav, meaning Ponim Alav, facing him, Kimamtinim Lidaber Imo, Bihiyoto Panui Min Hamare Hanich Bedet. What do you think it means? They're waiting for an opportunity to speak because they knew that what? He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once again, Svarno also is buying into the fact that these guys are angels who know very well that their boss is right there talking to Avram, and therefore they dare not interrupt. Nitzavim Alav. And therefore he writes the word, what other word could have been used instead of Nitzav? Omdim, says Svarno very well. Ki hamamtinim etzel adam lidaber imo yikru Nitzavim alav. The phrase Nitzav, in distinction to Omeid, Omeid simply indicates the physical posture. You're standing as opposed to sitting. Nitzav means you're standing and waiting to speak to somebody. Waiting for your turn. And he brings two interesting proofs. Number one, kimo lihit apek l'chol ha-nitzavim alav. Yosef, what was he doing? He had his brothers there, and he could v'lo yachol Yosef. He couldn't keep it in any longer. He had something to say, but he couldn't keep it in. But therefore, the brothers are not just standing in front of him. They're standing, waiting for him to respond. And, Kimo, Chol Ha'am, Nitzav Alecha. Yitro complains to his son-in-law, Mo, that you're not going to be able to judge everybody in the fashion in which you're doing it yourself, trying to handle this as a single independent lawyer. You got to get some help in your firm. And what does it say? All of the people, l'chol ha-nitzav alecha. You're not going to be able to serve everybody because all these people are online waiting for Moshe to speak. So it's not just they are odin, they are nitzav lefanecha. People online waiting for you to come. Vayaratz, so he interprets Nitzavim Alav, not like Rashi that they're on top of him, but Nitzavim Alav is part of the phrase. People who are waiting in line for the purpose of speaking to you, not just indicating a physical posture, as Rashi seemed to indicate. Continues Svarno, Vayaratz likratam, Biterem yikrivu lidaber imo. Before they had a chance to even open up their mouth, Avram runs to them. Mi petach ha'oel, hitchil min ha'petach larutz lichvodam, ki hazrizut lidaber yore al chashivuto. Be'enei hamizdareis elav. Running indicates that what? That you're an important person. So if you know that these three people are angels, Avram wants to demonstrate his recognition, So you don't just walk over to them, you run over to them, and the people to whom you are running suddenly know very well that that the person here holds them in high regard, and therefore it's Vayoratz Likratam. Kinyan Vayimaher Moshe Vayishtachu Arza. Moshe, when he was pleading, we read this in last week's parsha, pleading on behalf of HaKadosh, to HaKadosh Baruch, on behalf of Am Yisrael, to atone for the Chet HaEgel, he didn't do this slowly. Vayimaher Moshe Vayikod Arza Vayishtachu. Because he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had his ear, so he does this rather quickly. That's another perspective. If you take a look on page number 3 for a second, and look on the bottom, the Or HaChaim. Oh, Ve'omro, and it says Vayar. Hayan Yireh Lomar, it appears to me, Sheri'iyazu Sheinit. This second time when it says Vayar, Hi Hakaratam Heyotam Malachim. It's to indicate that initially he wasn't 100% sure, and now he suddenly is convinced that what? That these are angels. So the second Ri'iyah is like Rashi, Hitbonein, he understood something. However, Elo She'ein Tzorich Lazeh. I don't think it's necessary to make that type of comment. Ukvar Ramaz HaKatuv Shehikiram. The Torah hinted that he already understood that these are angels even before the word Vayar appeared. How do I know? Ela shemodia hakatuv sheberiya shera'a otam nitrape mimach ovo. What? So tell me what the Or HaChaim said. Exactly. Here you have an elder yid. He's 100 years old. He just had circumcision. We saw previously it's the third day, which is the worst day for such a patient, and he can't move. He's sitting Yoshev Petach HaOel. He must, as he sees these angels, he suddenly starts feeling better. You know, sometimes when a fever breaks, for example, you suddenly feel a lot better. And activities which you could not have dreamt of doing 5 minutes ago, suddenly you're capable. So Vayar Vihine Shlosha Anashim. As he sees them, he experiences the physical change. Vayar, he knows very well that these are angels. Therefore, because his physical status changed, Vayar Atzlikrata, now he's capable of running. 5 minutes ago, it would have been impossible for him to run in the condition that he was. So the Vayar is linked to the Vayarat Slikratan. Via seeing these angels and experiencing the change in his own body, that enables him to pick himself up. Ve'amad ve'ratz likratan. Ki hamalach yir'eh me'rachok. A malach can what? You can be seen from a distance. V'ein hevdeh lebechinat haruchniyut l'noa harufuah. And from the spiritual point of view, it doesn't. The angel does not need to come close to you to heal you. V'tekef umiyad asa shlichoto refael v'yir pa'ei. Ulitzad hargasha zu, and now having felt better, lahargish, to feel better, vayishtachu arza. That's why he prostrates himself on the floor, limashorsei elyon. in acknowledgement of these angels, I now prostrate myself on the floor. I feel great. Thank you, angels of God, for doing this. Just one comment. I'll take this. If we're going to read the text without Rashi's influence about angels, all of this has to be reinterpreted. Why is he bowing down to them? What's he running to them for? What's happening? So it's a totally different spin if you're not looking to read it. Well, yeah, question.
So he said that he asked them to wash their feet because if they were worshiping idols, they shouldn't have idols in the house. But if he, before this, understood that they were angels...
Good. Why is he... Excellent question. That's going to be a question that many will ask on Rashi, that you seem to be contradicting, because Rashi's going to buy into that midrash, that he washes, asked them to wash their feet because they may have been worshipping Avodah Zarah. If you know they're angels already, how are you suspecting that they're worshipping? Excellent question. It's one of the contradictions in Rashi's approach, and he was taken to the task for that. Excellent question. Any other? Yeah.
Looking at the Nachash HaNechoshet also caused healing, right? It was actually seeing...
Says, yeah, Vihibit El Nachash V'choy. That is correct. Yes. And it's the same power of God, whoever's... Yes.
That my question is it Hashem who heals, or is he send an angel?
It is always Hashem who heals.
Okay, so...
We use angels as a way of conveying God's will. And in fact, there are a lot of people who don't like it that we've included these angels in our liturgy. There are parts of Slichot that are omitted in certain schools because it says, Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisu Dimoseinu. Angels of compassion, please bring our tears into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the thought is, I don't need angels to bring my tears to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can bring them myself. And anything where there is an image of angels doing something, petitioning on our behalf, they skip that. So they're very uncomfortable with it. But the reality is, we use angels as our vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, because it's like a king who has something to do. He sends his ministers. He doesn't go himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you...
He's the head of the bed.
If you... What?
I thought he's there.
He came to visit.
Oh, as a visitor.
He came as a visitor. That's it. Yes. No one said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to heal him. Because he didn't have to come down to heal him. Could have done that from upstairs. Yeah. Good. Now it's the Orachayim. Then there's one other comment that I wanted to show you. If you go now to page number 2, and take a look at Radak in the second line. Ve'ela hashlosha hayu nitzavim litoelet Avraham. These three people were standing there ultimately to benefit Avraham. Uba'avuro ba'u. And they only came on account of Avraham. Ve'hikirze Avraham. And he understood that they came not for their benefit, because in the simple reading that we are not dealing with anybody angels, but we're dealing with people, why are these three people approaching?
For a meal.
For a meal. It's for their benefit, not for Avram's benefit. But Avram figures out that these three people are there for his benefit. How did he know that? Says the Radak. Because Shira'a otam nitzavim lo holchim. That they come to the door and then they stop. Elokim mekavim lo shiyikra'im. that it's, imagine you're like Esther, standing at the doorway and hope, waiting for what? For Ahasuerus to summon you in. That's the image that Avram figured this out. They're standing there waiting to be called by Avram. The hura'a, the havenze, vayarat likrasam. Lefikach amar vayar pamachat. Therefore it says vayar twice. The first time is he saw them, and then he understood why they're coming. 99% of the time when people approached him, he did not figure that they were coming for Avram's benefit. They're coming for their own benefit, for a meal, for a bed. Here he figured out by the mere fact that they were standing there, so the vayar means he understood the situation, that these people are here not for their benefit, and therefore vayarat slikratam. Yes, that's true. And he doesn't necessarily say that these were angels. You're 100% right. The fact that people were waiting, he understood that they were there for his benefit. For his benefit. And, yeah. Yes? Yes?
I like his idea, but truthfully, Vayarat Lichasam can also be when somebody, if you don't feel well, but when somebody comes to visit you, you have that respect for a visitor, you
energize yourself.
Right?
Yes? You're just as good as the Radha. Just as good as the Radha. Yes. Yeah? Yes. Of course.
And also, during the time God says, I'm evil on Allah.
Correct.
So what's the difference when he sends angels or when he doesn't send angels? Or what does it mean to us that he sends angels to do this?
That's an excellent question. I don't have a good answer to that. That's the world of Kabbalah. Oh. They spend a lot of time trying to understand what these angels are in the various spheres of understanding where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests on top. I don't have a clue. You're 100% right. We don't need angels to discuss any of this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can cure Avram. He can save Lot without having an angel there. He can destroy Sodom without telling that. He can tell Avram directly, I don't need an angel to do this. I can't answer that question. Why is it in the Akedah that it's Vayikra lo Malach Hashem Shemitz? What does that mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting there and just saying, oh, you tell him not to slaughter you. There's a lot of discussion about it. I don't have a handle on it. Because I can't frame it intellectually. What does it mean, God speaking over God speaking versus an angel? So the Ramban a couple weeks ago suggested that when there is an angel involved, that means that you're seeing something, but it's not 100% clear in your mind. It's images that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sharing with you via an angel. But it's not, the Ramban called it Aspakli Laria She'ena Mi'ira. And you have to figure it out. And the difference was that when it comes to Moshe, Moshe never had a malach speaking. Speaks directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is Aspaklaria Mi'ira. I'm just telling you what he says. I'm not 100%. Your question is a very good question. In reality, it makes no difference whatsoever if he does it himself or he sends an angel. And you will have that in the Akedah. The first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells Avram to go. But then, as he's about to slaughter, Vayikra lo Malach Hashem min Hashemayim again. Angel. I don't know. Yeah?
Didn't you say a while ago that years ago, many, many years ago, there were miracles? Because people needed that to understand
what was happening. But now we don't have the miracles. So could it be
I also said that about prophecy.
Right. So now that there was the Malach, we don't have Malachim anymore. Now we know that Hashem is doing everything.
Correct.
And in those days, maybe they needed something.
I buy into that.
Yeah.
I buy into that. That these miracles and prophecy and angels is something that you need for people who have not yet bought in to absolute belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they need something a little more concrete and tangible. I grant you. I'm a firm believer in that. And that we who have been, who've had the experience of 2,000, 3,000 years of grandparents who believed and convinced us, we no longer need that. Yeah.
What did the Kabbalists decide? Are there angels?
Oh, they believe in angels, okay. They believe in them. I just don't quite understand. We'll stop here and we'll continue as the event unfolds.